passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah, very pleasant. Good afternoon. Welcome in on this Tuesday as we are here for the next 4 hours to keep you company. Hope all is well, and we'll get to your phone calls in just a couple of minutes at 855-242-7285. There's also a couple of things we're going to get into. Obviously, we're 4 hours away from the CFP, and that's going to be a big part of the next couple of days, if not the next few weeks. We talked yesterday, of course, to Heather Dinich, and she didn't seem to think Georgia would be number one. She seemed to be landing a little bit more on Ohio State. By the way, does it really matter? But the big story in college football today has nothing to do with the CFP, but everything to do with someone who really isn't even relevant anymore in the college football space. And that's Dabo Swinney, who has fallen from grace, who has lost four games, but clearly does not accept the fact of where he is. What's interesting is we're going to play an interchange from a caller on his talk show last night. And what was funny, I was reading the Greenville News today, and in their description of this, Scott Kiefer, a columnist there, And the guy you're going to hear talking to Dabo Swinney, a gentleman named Tyler from Spartanburg, South Carolina, this is what, by now some of you have heard about this, wrote. He said, one might have thought Tyler was actually Paul Feinbaum. In other words, nobody, no real Clemson fan would have dared say to Dabo Swinney, what you are about to hear happened last night. If you haven't heard it, take a listen. This was last night in Clemson.
Hey, Tyler. I've listened to it for you, Tyler. You can have all your opinions that you want, right? I don't know how old you are. Don't really care, right? But let me tell you something. We won 11 games last year, and you're part of the problem, to be honest with you, because that is part of the problem. It's people like you that all you do is the appreciation, the expectation is greater than the appreciation. And that's the problem. And so, you know, we've won 12 10-plus win seasons in a row. That's happened three times in 150 years. So if you want to know why, Clemson ain't sniffed a national championship for 35 years. We've won two in 7 years. And there's only two other teams that can say that, Georgia and Alabama, okay? Is this a bad year? Yeah. And it's my responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for it. But all this bull crap you're taking, all these narratives you read, listen, man, you can have your opinion all you want. And you can apply for the job. And good luck to you. All right? But to answer your question, all right, we're second in draft picks. We've graduated 98% of our guys. We're second in wins. All right? If you want to know why, again, I'm telling you, we're not perfect. There's a lot of teams that, you know, Frank Howard never had a bad year. Coach Ford never had a bad year. Nobody, Coach K, never had a bad year in basketball. People have a bad year. But the part of the problem is the appreciation. I used to tell people all the time and say, what's the difference in Clemson? I'm going to tell you. At some places, there's an expectation, but at Clemson, there's an appreciation. And what's happened at Clemson is we've won so much that even when we used to be the funds in the winning, now even when you win, people like you complain and criticize the coaches and question everything. People like you, right? When I hired Tony Elliott to be the offensive coordinator who never called a play in his life, I'm sure you were critical then. Right? And he took us to two national championships. People like you who just love to destroy people with your comments, right? I'm sure you've never made any bad decisions. I'm sure you've lived a perfect life. I'm sure you've led a bunch of people. I'm sure you do your job in front. So to answer your question, I started as the lowest paid coach in this freaking business, right? And I'm where I am because I've worked my ass off every single day. And I ain't going to let some smart-ass kid get on this phone and create this stuff. So if you got a problem with that, I don't care. All right? I work for the Board of Trustees, the president, and the AD. And if they're tired of me leading this program, all they got to do is let me know. I'll go somewhere else where there is an appreciation. All right? It's not just winning. It's how you win. And we are in a – this is a tough year. But we've had 10-plus win seasons in a row. 12. We lost to Tennessee last year. They won 11 games for the first time in like 20 years. We've had 8-11 win seasons in whatever, 11 years or whatever. We've won 2 national championships. Clemson went 35 years. All right, probably since before you were born, your whole freaking life. And we've won 2 in 7 years. And we earned it. And we beat the best of the best to do it. The best of the best. 12, 10 plus win seasons. So if you want to know why, that's why. Am I perfect? Nope. I'm far from it. I am a man of faith. Absolutely. All right? I'm 53 years old, and there ain't one thing in my life. I have been a part of failure many times, but there ain't one thing in my life that I've ever failed at, Tyler. Never. All right? Ever. I wanted to get an education. I got 2 degrees. I wanted to be the first college in my grad with my family. I did it. I wanted to go play football at Alabama. I earned a scholarship, lettered 3 years, worked my ass off, won a national championship. I wanted to get into coaching. I worked my way to being a head coach. And when I got this job, and I'm sure you didn't want me to get this job, all right, and 15 years later, I'm still here. And I'd say the results are what they are, and I stand on them. So you don't ever have to call back. I wanted to get married. I've been married for going on 30 years. I wanted to be a father. I've raised 3 great sons. If you don't like how I run the program, don't be a fan. I don't care. But I'm the head coach, and I'm going to do what I believe is right for the long term of this program, what's best for the players, and what I think is best for the moment. If you got a problem with that, that's fine. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and let you call. I don't give a crap how much money I make. You ain't going to talk to me like I'm 12 years old. You'd be freaking kidding me. Amen.
Dabo Swinney, last night responding to a caller who had really a great deal to say in terms of questioning what he has done, his success, and how much money he makes. We will certainly get into all of this and find out who Tyler from Spartanburg really was and maybe why he called in. A lot of reaction all over the country today to what Dabo Swinney had said. I said it the other day on a podcast with Matt Berry that Dabo Swinney is the saddest story in college football. That was before the diatribe. I said about 6 weeks ago with Mike Greenberg that Dabo's dynasty is done. And I just think about Dabo Swinney and you juxtapose Dabo Swinney with Nick Saban. Dabo Swinney's 53 years old. Nick Saban turned 72 today. Why does Dabo Swinney sound like the old man screaming at the kids on Halloween to get off his lawn? And Nick Saban looks like the young guy who is adapting to change and embracing it. It's just fascinating to think about where these two men stood 5 years ago at the pinnacle of college football. Nick Saban's still there, knocking on the door perhaps of another bid to make a run at the playoffs and maybe the national championship. And Dabo Swinney has just suffered his 4th loss before Halloween. And he still has Notre Dame, North Carolina, South Carolina, and others to play. We'll head to the Palmetto State, talk to Gene Sapochoff about this. He was also in Shane Beamer's presence today and asked him about that. Gene will join us next and your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. We're going to get your reaction to what happened last night in South Carolina with Dabo Swinney. We'll also get some analysis of that from Gene Sapochoff, who is the longtime columnist in Charleston, covers the South Carolina sports scene very, very well, and looking forward to getting Gene's reaction now. Gene, thank you so much. Really do appreciate your time. I know you've been to South Carolina today, but I want to first just kind of set the tone on the reaction in your state and what people are saying today about what happened last night. Gene, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Clemson had Don't Be a Tyler t-shirts ready to go and available online and in stores this morning, and I'm not kidding about that. Yeah, the reaction's been completely viral. Paul, obviously, among Clemson fans, and then Shane Beamer, for some reason, at his presser today, just no one asked him about Dabo, and he just brought it up, saying my friend in the upstate had to hear about Proverbs last night, and I have a Proverbs verse 2, and it is Proverbs 18:2, which basically said, fools and their opinions, we shouldn't listen to those. So it's been crazy, Paul.
Why don't Shane worry about trying to win a couple of football games and let Dabo deal with his own situation? But first of all, who is this guy that called in? Do we know?
Yeah, he lives in the backyard in Tuscaloosa with Jim. No, I really don't know, Paul. We're not sure about this guy. I know some very intrepid journalists are trying to track him down and, you know, see if he's real. I guess he is. I don't know. There's a lot of people named Tyler in Spartanburg. I do know that.
Well, Gene, you tell me, because Dabo's always walked to his own beat. He's been different. He's been kind of on this season-long rant about being appreciated. But how are people reacting, though, other than the T-shirt sales and the least important person to defend him, and that would be the coach at South Carolina? How are just rank and file fans reacting to what he said and did last night?
Yeah, well, I think most people still have his back and are with him. But Paul, it's been a tough go here. I mean, you lose to Duke by 21 in Durham, and then Miami in overtime with just some inexplicable play calling and execution at the end, and NC State. That was quite the ridiculous game in which the Wolfpack total about 203 yards and still managed to win the game. But Dabo's so frustrated, Paul, because this is a team not only did he think would compete for the national championship, but he uncharacteristically said so in July to really stoke the fan base. Hey, I really believe in this team and this new quarterback, Cade Klubnik, and this my brand new offensive shiny toy offensive coordinator, Garrett Riley. And here they are with Sun Bowl implications going into this game against Notre Dame and maybe looking at really having to struggle to get bowl eligible here down the stretch.
In terms of what he has done in the past, does this measure that? Does this marry that? Or is this a different Dabo Swinney we're dealing with? Or has he always been thin-skinned and disingenuous?
You know, it's hard to tell because they did so well there for so long with the 6 straight playoff appearances and 2 national titles. Before that, there absolutely were some incidents. In 2012, you know, he went on a rant after losing one of the games in the 5-game losing streak against the Gamecocks where he said Carolina is in Chapel Hill and the real USC is in California and that. But haven't heard much of this lately. But, Paul, there's 2 things that will fix Clemson, and they both can be done in just a few weeks of the offseason, and that is get some transfers in here for the first time. And there are too many inexperienced coaches on this staff, almost all of them Clemson, former Clemson players or former Clemson grad assistants.
So let's go to the I guess this is the downstate. That's where you were earlier today. In terms of Beamer, explain why Beamer said what he did, considering he wasn't asked, or maybe he just didn't simply have the hot dog eating chain gang to complain about, or the locker rooms in Missouri, or you know somebody, or the officials, so he could break another foot. So what did he have to say? What did you make out of what he said today?
Relatively similarly bad season for Shane Beamer, considering what they had coming in, 2-6 going into this game against the Jacksonville State Gamecocks on Saturday. But I don't know, Shane pays way too much attention to what people write and say, and I don't know why he does that. I guess it's being the son of a coach, but you know, he's got 9 offensive line injuries this year, and his best receiver, Juice Wells, still out, it looks like, for this game. And really, they just need to try to get a win against anybody at this point. And why he went there with Dabo, I don't know, except that, again, I think he sincerely is feeling the heat from a small portion of his fans, too, and just wasn't used to that first couple seasons.
Well, yeah, maybe he could always become a theology professor with his expert quotation of Proverbs.
Well, between Dabo and Shane Beamer today, and, you know, I think a lot of people dug into the Bible for the first time in a long time in South Carolina. And I went to a Bible study this morning. I really did. But we didn't talk about Proverbs or Dabo or Shane Beamer.
And on Shane Beamer, I don't think we expected a vintage season this year. But I think Gamecock fans have to be pretty disappointed. I even had a guy call me yesterday, Gene, and ask me about his future, which I quickly responded saying I don't think there's any concern about his future. He just got a new contract extension. What are people saying, and how much worse can this season get?
It can get a lot worse. I mean, I think the Jacksonville State Gamecocks with Rich Rod coming in, that's a dangerous team. They're a really good team in their league. And then they'll beat Vanderbilt, but then they end up with Kentucky at Clemson. All those games are at home. But, yeah, here's the key, Paul, for him is holding a very good recruiting class relative to South Carolina that they have. And he had to answer questions about that last week, Paul, like, are you sure about these best recruits still coming? And he said they're all still enthusiastic, but kind of thought, like you said, it was not going to be a great season, but it wasn't going to be this bad.
And, Gene, before we wrap up here, let's go back to Dabo for a second. He's obviously going through a difficult time. I mean, we have the CFP reveal, and, you know, he has been in this so many times since the inception in 2014, really from 2015 until 2 years ago. Clemson was a mainstay. Do you think that's working on him, and do you really think, and what does the immediate future look like beyond this year for Dabo Swinney?
Well, just like the future, I think, does overall look bright for Shane Beamer in South Carolina, I think it does for Clemson, too. They still have a lot of outstanding talent, particularly on defense, Paul. They've had some injuries, and I think there will be from 3 to 7 real good transfers for the first time. I mean, I know you know that he has hardly gone into the portal at all. His one portal guy is Paul Tyson, a quarterback who's the great-grandson of Bear Bryant, who never plays and wasn't intended to play.
No.
And, you know, I think he's going to make some coaching changes, and then I think they have a good shot at a 12-team playoff in 2024 when he does those two things.
Is this his reluctance to change? And, yeah, the Paul Tyson thing was a little bit unique, considering I think Paul wants to be a coach and Dabo knows the family and don't ask me if I know too much about that story. But the point being, how much, if any, impact do you think Venables leaving a couple years ago has had on this program?
You nailed it, Paul, as usual. So they lose in a short period of time. Robbie Caldwell, veteran offensive line coach, former head coach, you know, Brent Venables, Tony Elliott, and Jeff Scott, all really good veteran coaches, and they stunningly replace them with a bunch of young coaches, many of them coaching for the first time on the field. And like I said, he really wanted to go with all these Clemson grads or former grad assistants, but forgot that, hey, you need some steady veteran hands in that coaching room.
Gene Sapikoff, always great to catch up with our friend over in Charleston. We'll take a short break. Get your reaction. Not much more that can be said from this perch, but I know a lot of you have some thoughts as we roll on here on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, one more thing we want to do before we get to the calls. We played Dabo's reaction, and this is a little scratchy, so we're not going to listen to much of it. But I just want to give everybody a little bit of an idea of what Tyler from Spartanburg sounded like as he called Dabo last night.
Appreciate everything you said, Coach. Coach Swinney, it sounds a whole lot like Tommy Bowden. And I'll tell you one thing, Tommy Bowden didn't make the same amount of money as you do. You make $11.5 million a year. That's second in college football, if I'm not mistaken. I'm curious, why that salary has led to a 4-4. And I know we're going to talk about, you know, just being a couple plays away from undefeated and all that. And I know you're a man of religion. I'm a big fan. Coach, before you categorize me as a, you know, being in the 1.5%, I was going to Clemson games, and my entire family, going back generations, has been going to Clemson games before, you know, when you're in commercial real estate. So I'm not going to accept being in that 1.5%. And I respect the fact that you're a man of faith. I'm curious if you've ever read Proverbs 16:18, which talks about five come for the fall. I was in the military, and I was overseas for the big run. And so I couldn't watch all the games. I tried my best. But I always watched the press conferences just for life advice, and I appreciated all that. Something changed after 2018. You're humble, you're hungry, and everything. And I always told people, you know, Dad, but just listen to press conferences. But after that 2018 national title, something changed. And there seems to be the arrogance that came in. There's a lot of friends and family. I mean, 3 of the 10 on-field football coaches are external, experienced hires. Everyone else was an internal hire that had no experience before or was a former player or friend. So I'm curious, why are we paying you $11.5 million to go 4-4? And it's not just this year. It's been, you know, just a refusal to accept.
Yeah, that was Tyler from Spartanburg, and that's the first time I've heard him. I've heard Dabo a couple of times today. I thought he was pretty reasoned. Young guy, obviously military background, so Dabo clearly insulting a military man, calling him a kid or whatever he called him. And I realize why Dabo snapped, because the guy was telling the truth. Let's get some reaction. Matthew is up next in Alaska. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Paul. I really enjoy the program when I get to listen to
it. Thank you.
I'm a pastor, and I believe the Bible and everything. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, that isn't doing anything to attract people to the faith. And it's just disheartening because I'm appreciative because we have a guy that's gotten us 40 tackles who transferred from Clemson. I'm a Mizzou graduate, but he is not part of the problem. Like, you look at what he said, you're part of the problem. Okay, is he on your coaching staff? Is he the reason? I mean, he's living rent-free. He almost like Dabo is doing everything wrong that you're not supposed to do. Like, you get chewed out and you chuckle it off. Maybe you get a little snippy, but all he's done is now everybody wants to interview that guy and drawing this out more and more, highlighting his 4-4 record. I heard that and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then he's swearing, and this guy is unhinged, and he's obviously not. I like how Nick Saban has done it this year.
Well, Matthew, you understand this better because you preach it and you teach it, but when you've accomplished things, you don't ever have to remind someone of that. I can't imagine. I mean, Nick Saban may be unhappy with things, and I've been with him when he was unhappy with my questions. But Nick Saban's never had to remind me how many championships he's won and how hard he works. So that's a given. That's why you're making that kind of money.
That was another thing that was really frustrating. He goes off on his resume, and it sounded like like the typical I'm a victim.
Yeah.
Everything he said, if I'm his players, I'm like, oh my gosh, because you can guarantee there's probably some now that are going to transfer just because hearing he's always carried his faith. I remember when he first got hired with Clemson, they defended him because he was winning, but I just, come on,
but
man,
Matthew, I've heard other ministers talk about this. I mean, when somebody's in the pulpit, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a lot of people in that church on Sunday who are going to be critical of their minister, and you just have to take it. You know what's out there.
Yeah, I remember I heard a missionary, and he talked about all the cause for the gospel, and it's just, if anybody is listening at Clemson who knows the guy or can pull him aside, I don't know. He just needs to. This is the end of him, because even if he rebounds a little bit, I just don't see it, Paul, because you're not going to win Flint. He's telling a fan who cares about Clemson he's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, 100%. My gosh. Anyway, well, thank you, Paul.
Hey, thank you very much.
Good work in. I love Mizzou. I hope we win. Bye-bye.
Okay. Not only that, he's got a game Saturday where Clemson has an opportunity to – make some of this back. You're up against Notre Dame, and they may win, probably will. But it's every time I get mad at a caller here and start yelling back, I lose. And it happens. It doesn't happen often, but it happens, because I have people around me who are screaming at me not to get upset, and I wonder about the host of the show, who I believe was the longtime broadcaster, Don Munson, I think is his name. I blame him for not trying to intervene. He should have just jumped in and said and thanked the caller. I'm on one level, I'm glad he let it play out, but Dabo showed who he is. He's a small person. He's petty. He's thin-skinned. He's insecure. Same word over and over again, but he just can't handle it. And he's never getting back to where he was. John is up next.
Well, tell me how you really feel, Paul.
I'm just getting started. Come on.
Yeah. So before I talk about this drama today, is Tyler related to you, or is he part of your production team? I just got to put that out there.
In all candor, he's my he's my first son.
Yeah,
we are currently estranged. When he became a Clemson fan, we disowned him. That's why I haven't talked to him in a while.
Well, now he's back in the fold, and poor Jimmy had a good call yesterday, and Gene threw him under the bus
I buried the lead and you brought it back. How about Gene Sapikoff bodying Jim from Tuscaloosa?
That was not fair. And, you know, with the Dabo meltdown, this is going to last for a little while, but blame train stubbing his toe and putting in proverbs. Hello.
He's just like the little kid in the lunchroom. You know, going running to the teacher because somebody threw, you know, something, we're having a food fight.
And if it wasn't going bad enough for Dabo, in that long diatribe, he says, Frank Howard never had a bad year. And I'm thinking, hello,
yeah,
Frank Howard just passed away today. Did you catch that?
That was a different Frank Howard.
I know, but timing is everything, right?
Yeah, no.
Now that
Frank Howard was a great player.
He was. And the happiest person today is undoubtedly Jim Harbaugh. He did handle his questions well yesterday, but the heat is on Dabo for the rest of the week.
Dabo, yeah. I mean, if you had told me yesterday morning Dabo Sweeney is going to be the story of the next day, I would have said there's no way. I mean, the guy's off the radar screen. Hey, well, thank you very, very much. Kyle is up next. Kyle, go right ahead. Kyle, you there?
Howdy, Paul. How you doing?
We have been great. Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to give you a call. And did you see that Texas A&M game this past week?
Talk about
culture win. That is the win that we were looking for. I'll tell you what's going to happen, Paul. We're going to run the table. We're going to win out, go to a bowl game, get a healthy Carter Wingman back, and we're going to win the SEC next year.
How could you point to a game, a win over a truly terrible team, as a culture win?
Well, you know, that we all we needed was one. It starts with one. Beamer's not as bad as they say. We're turning it around. Try
beating Ole Miss, and I think there's a chance you will. But you beat Ole Miss, and you've got a chance to do everything you said. Bash is up next. Hey, Bash.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. How are we doing today?
We're okay. Thank you.
Thank you for saying that. And I have to thank you, Paul, for two things. One, last week when I called you and told you about the thing we have in common with Tennessee being 16-1 and the Denver Broncos was 16-1 to Kansas City, Paul, I used you to pray to the football gods, because if football was a religion and if that religion was Christianity, you are the Pope, and I used you to get my message to the football gods, and they gave the Broncos their win, so thank you. And the second thing I have to thank you, Paul Feinbaum, is that call earlier in this show was the funniest thing I have heard all week. I have to be honest now, Paul. It doesn't sound like Dabo Swinney is after Nick Saban's job anymore. It really sounds like he's after your job, because he sounds like he's trying to transition from being a Division I college football coach to being a talk show host.
Well, you're right about that, Bash. That's the best thing I've heard from Dabo all year. I mean, he could get a job as a talk show host in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll take a short break. We are back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Raylo is up next as we continue. Good afternoon.
Paul?
Yes, sir.
All right. Paul, I've always wanted to call in. I don't, unfortunately, get to listen to your show enough, but I've always wanted to ask if you are a out-of-the-closet homer for Bama, and even though you went to Tennessee, and now it's clear that you are. I've never heard anybody gush over a coach like you do Nick Saban. And you say,
well, by the way, there's never been a coach like Saban to gush over as much.
Well, let me ask you this. You said he never whines. Well, once again, when Gus Malzahn beat him again, he went on to whine that he thought the hurry up offense was dangerous for the players and it should be stricken from the rules. I don't know if you remember him lecturing his fans because they weren't coming to the home games to watch Alabama play the University of Oklahoma at Donkey Neck. he whined.
I do
about
remember
the,
that game, by the way. I had tickets to that game.
Well, I'm not surprised given the homer that you are. But he whined about the name, image, likeness, saying it made it impossible for him to recruit every year when he shouldn't be on the playoffs. He goes on this ridiculous PR tour just begging to be noticed. And you know what? Saban is the greatest college football coach of all times. But he is not this god that you make him out to be. And, specifically, let me just ask you, do you remember when he blasted his fans for not coming to their pathetic home games that they'd win by 7 points?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
That was my answer, yes.
Okay, well, hopefully another person who's not a complete Nick Saban sycophant will call in and verify that happened. But I enjoy your show. I just wish once in a while you would have one critical thing to say about Saban. And I am an Auburn Tiger, so I have no fondness for Saban, but your brushing over all of his flaws is just ponderous. So I appreciate you taking my call, and I look forward to hearing your answer.
Well, thank you. I always like to hear a good word like ponderous mentioned on the show. AC is up next. How are you, AC?
Good, sir. How you feeling, sir? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely, Mr. Feinbaum. So what's going on with Dabo Swinney? I mean, the Clemson mini dynasty came to an end, and he's crying and whining about it. So how about he goes to Texas A&M and lets hype up that competition so he can get smacked again? But in the process, San Antonio is going to be super happy because Jimbo Fisher's not going to be there. But Dabo Swinney could take over their program and fail miserably. What do you think about that scenario, Mr. Feinbaum?
That's just fascinating, AC.
Of course it's fascinating, because you want Dabo Swinney to fail, and I don't blame you. I want you fat Americans to fail, especially this Halloween.
I've never heard anybody want people to fail because it's Halloween. How about Patrick in Louisiana? Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Paul, I just passed I'm on I-10. I just passed a hearse with Texas plates. And the plate said expired.
That's him.
That's got to be him. I'm looking forward to the LSU-Alabama game this weekend. I hope it's a good one and the best team, may the best team win, whatever, whichever one it is.
Well, I have no idea who really is. I think Alabama might be, but that doesn't mean very much. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are heading to a break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.